Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to all you Nightbirds. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum. I am your host, Susan Lager, and I'm a psychotherapist and coach and the founder of the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Tonight's episode, January 12th, is called Sisters, the Good, the Bad, and the In-Between. My co-hosts tonight are my two precious, precious sisters who are on the line, Marjorie DeVito. Margie, take a bow.
Precious number one calling in.
She's precious number one. Marjorie is my older sister. I call her Maja, and she's from Palm City, Florida. And Laura Rifshin, my baby sister from New York. You want to take a bow, Laura?
Yes, I'm taking a bow, but I'm not such a baby anymore.
Okay, you're not a baby yet. Tomorrow, as of tomorrow, Laura's having a major birthday, but we won't give out the number, but we're all here to help remind her that she's loved and that she has two lovely sisters to help her through this tragedy as she turns this corner. Anyway, listeners, we'll be talking, hopefully not fighting, about all the ups and downs for about an hour of sisterhood tonight, so it should be fun. Your toll-free call-in number, this is just some housekeeping issues. Your toll-free call-in number is 877-497-9046. All callers will be muted until you have a question or a comment. Then, if you want to say something, press 1 to raise your hand. I will see you on my switchboard, and you'll then be on the queue to be on the air. So hopefully that's clear. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm up here in the Arctic frozen tundra of Maine with about, I think it was about 18 inches of snow. How are you two doing? You in New York, Laura, and Marge, you in Florida?
Well, I think Margie is probably doing a lot better than you and I are. We had about 8 to 10 inches dumped on us last night, but you've lived in the city and you know that everyone really panics when there's just a few inches of snow. But it wasn't as bad as it was 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago it was really horrific.
Yeah, I heard that. It was really crazy.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Sister number one here, I can truly say, come on down to sunny Florida. However, we are having a bit of a cold snap tonight. And tomorrow, I do believe it's only going to get into about the high 60s.
Oh, poor.
Don't be too jealous now, girls.
Yeah, we'll try not to be. And that's one issue that we could talk about later, maybe. Jealousy. Who has access to what?
But, not moi.
The what?
Not moi. M-O-I. M-O-I smart sister.
Well, folks, you see that Laura and Marge and I have quite a spunky relationship. We tell it like it is. And I think we're an example. And you two tell me if you disagree. Hopefully you don't. I think we're an example of a lot of what's good about sisterhood. And I think we're very fortunate and very blessed because we actually like each other, wouldn't you say?
Yes. I would say so. On my end.
No,
I kind of
like
you, Sue. You too, Laura.
Yeah.
In our better moments, anyway.
Yeah.
There's appreciation in our better moments. And
I wanted to ask you, Laura, talk a little louder. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. You said
she's the quiet one, folks.
Yeah, right. You said before that you think the three of us are the better example of good sisters. Can you say more about that? Because you've never really said that. I know you feel it.
I never told you that?
No, I know you tell me that you love me and you admire me and, you know, you have fun.
Gee, you don't tell me that.
Uh-oh. See, folks?
Well, you're the odd girl out, Marge. That's one of the bad things about sisterhood. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think part of what's good about us and what's good about sisterhood in general when it works is that I think, first of all, we love each other and we like each other.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Well, I'll add more than that. I think we have fun with each other. I think that's very important. I have more fun with the two of you than most people, than I have fun with most people.
That's true.
I don't know, maybe because when we were growing up, we laughed a lot. Daddy had a great sense of humor. But I have friends, I know people who don't like their sisters, don't like their family, and never laugh with them. They don't share anything with them.
I have a question.
Yeah. What's your question, Marge?
Now, time for truthfulness now, since we're on the air.
Okay, we'll try.
Susan, I'm speaking to you now.
Okay.
Do you think you would be my friend if you weren't my sister?
Oh, never in a million years. Are you kidding? Why would I go to Florida to see you? If I weren't related.
I think we lost the one from Florida.
Yeah, I think she just hung up.
Oops.
I think we would.
There goes the show.
I think we would, but I think we, I think we'd probably fight. And that's one of the difficult things about sisterhood, that, you know, you clash, you hit your heads up against each other at times. But I think there's a lot about both of you that I also enjoy and admire in close friends. It's really the same quality. So it's not some, I don't think, some special kind of accommodation because you're a sister. Other than, I think one thing that is really different with a sister that's a good thing is that there is a sense of permanence about the relationship. So I think you're probably more committed to working things out. And there's kind of a presumption that you're going to work it out one way or the other when you like each other and when you love each other.
But you really like me best, right, Sue?
Of course, Marge, always. And I would never tell that to Laura, though, Marge. Keep it a secret, okay?
My birthday tomorrow.
Yeah. Do you have special plans, Laura, or do you want your sisters to fly down and cheer you up?
No, actually, I think I'm going to be taken care of quite well. I'm not really going to work, and then I'm getting together with two friends of mine who called and want to take me out to lunch, so I'm going down to the financial district. One of them is Vajramati, and the other one is someone who works with him, the two people who are in my Buddhist class. So that was a surprise. I was very happy when they even remembered. Yeah,
that's
and I love them. Yeah, that's nice.
Great.
And then I'm going out to dinner tomorrow night with Patty.
Oh, good.
She's
kind of like a sister, and you have a lot of the same advantages and disadvantages with her as a kind of faux sister, I think.
Right. Well, except we don't laugh together.
Yeah.
I think,
well, don't tell her about the program.
Yeah.
Gee, I hope she's not listening.
What did she say? I didn't hear you. What did she say?
I said, don't tell her about the program. Yeah.
Because of what you just said.
Now, she's let me explain, and I think I've said this to both of you. Patty is a classic example of somebody who she so admires, because she knows us for years. She's been an old friend of mine, but she so admires and is so envious of the relationship that the three of us have, because she doesn't have that at all with her two sisters.
Yeah.
She's the elder sister, and she's always taking care of things, and she's kind of like the black sheep in the family. They don't get her. They don't understand her. And that would lead into my next question, because this is something I think a lot about when I think of Patty. She doesn't really like her sisters. What do you do? What do you think you do if you're stuck with them? Do you not have a relationship with them? Do you try and plug away and continue to have a relationship with them? she's constantly disappointed, and I imagine that's very hard. I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't like their siblings.
Yes,
what do you think
yeah.
to do with all that?
Well, I think that's one of the things about sisterhood that can be really very difficult. When you have a sister, I think there's kind of an expectation that society places in your head and in your heart that you're going to be close, you're going to get each other, you're going to like each other. And I think it really amplifies the disappointment when you don't jive with your sisters, or they're just not very nice, or they don't participate in helping an aging parent or this or that. And I think, I don't know that there's, well, this is just my opinion, but I don't know that there's a one-size-fits-all solution. I think people are probably more committed to trying to make it work one way or the other. And that kind of gets to another thing that we probably will need to cover by the near the end of the show, which is how you maximize the good and minimize the bad. And, you know, getting to how you can be more realistic about your expectations and focus on the positive, et cetera. But I think that's one of the things that can be so difficult about sisterhood, because you're permanently attached in a way that you never are to a friend.
Right.
Really good point, Sue.
What'd you say,
yeah,
Marge?
I said really good point.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. But
well,
then again, I am kind of blocked.
You are blocked, Marge. And it's one thing, as your sisters, we can tell you and really jive with you about and razz you about, because you have this amazing ability to kind of be in the room but exit mentally, or to forget things, or not to even know something happened. I wish I could develop that defense. It must be wonderful.
Okay, well,
except when mealtime comes. Not when mealtime is there.
That's true.
I'm always present during mealtimes.
Right, that's true. One thing that I think on the good side, I was thinking about this in preparing for the show, and I'm wondering what you two think about this, is not only the closeness, because blood is usually thicker than water, and there generally are presumptions of trust when it works and bonding and all that good stuff, but I think there's something really special about having a shared history. That when we talk about New Rochelle or we talk about mommy and daddy, we really know that we all get it. We feel understood. We feel really validated. We don't have to explain anything. Don't you think?
Well, that's if you connect. Yeah, it could work both ways. It's if you connect and you get your sister and you feel a sense of safeness, and that you're understood. I think if you have a shared experience that's so different from your siblings, they may not understand you and vice versa, and that can create more distance, I think.
Yes, it can.
I think for us, it's been a good thing. I don't know that it always is. What do you think? Do you have any feelings on that, Marge? Anything you?
It can create distance or empathy.
Either way,
yeah,
when you don't have a shared experience or your lives are so different.
That's right.
I mean, at times I have tremendous empathy for whatever situation you guys might be going through. Now, I don't know if I'd have that if you weren't my sister, because you guys are my best friends.
Right.
Aww.
Well,
yeah.
And we all know
I'm the sweet one, folks.
Well, that gets to another thing, and that's one of the things that I think can be really difficult about sisterhood is there are family scripts generally, and there are roles assigned to sisters. And so, Marge, you were kind of known as, well, when Daddy was talking and he was his most negative, it was Meshuggah Marge. And for you Gentiles out there, Meshuggah means kind of neurotic and a little mixed up. You were Meshuggah Marge, and you, Laura, you were Lazy Laura, and I was Selfish Susie, remember?
Mm-hmm. What were you, Sue?
I was Selfish Susie.
Selfish
when Daddy
Susie.
Was in a good, was in a bad mood. And when Daddy was in a good mood, I was Smart Susie. It all depended on the mood.
And how do you think, with that said, how do you think that shaped us in our lives, growing up with those little sweet nicknames? What do you think that did to us?
Well, I could share my thoughts. What do you think it did?
I don't think it was saying anything good about it, either of us, obviously. I guess I felt subconsciously that I had to play out that kind of role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was blocked.
It didn't affect me at all.
Because you were blocked.
Right.
I think it gets into your head. I think it gets into your brain that it's the role in the family. And if you guys remember this, I remember this so clearly, that I grew up with this sense. And for you, all you listeners, our mother was a wonderful cook, and our father was also a great cook, and eating was a very big sport in our family. It was a pastime. And somehow, when you think of family scripts, I was assigned this role, and one of the roles I was assigned was I was not somebody who knew how to cook. So I remember being given a lot of garbage detail, that I would have to peel carrots and throw things away and clean counters. Well, I remember both of you making the white sauce, stirring the pot, adding... No?
It's called the bechamel, Sue.
Bechamel. Okay. See, I didn't even know the name for it.
I don't remember that. Isn't that funny? I just remember cleaning up, too.
I remember it distinctly, and I don't remember that as a script until I got much older. And I remember thinking, oh, I can't cook. I can't cook. I shouldn't even try. Until one day I remember asking myself, well, who told me that? Where did that come from? And somehow it got into my brain, and I think it was just part of the family script. And that's, I think, one of I think understanding the family scripts in a way that no outsider would is part of what's good about sisterhood, that we can laugh about it, right?
Right. Well, that must have created, looking back on it, that must have created a lot of bad feelings, whether you were aware of it or not, or envious or angry, hostile feelings.
Well, how'd you feel about being called Lazy Laura?
Well, I didn't like it. I dealt with it very differently when I was a kid. I used to sulk. I used to go up in my room and sulk.
Right.
It's funny because I don't have... You know, you have memory of how you responded. I don't remember that much how the two of you responded to Daddy's, slings and arrows.
Quite frankly, I don't remember being called Meshuggah and Marge.
Oh, yeah. You don't? Are you serious?
Frankly, you really are.
Blocked. I'm real. I'm being serious now.
You are? You don't remember Meshuggah and Marge?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But then again, I am past 65, so it could be a senior moment.
But you probably forgot that years ago. I think that there were very rigid scripts in our family, and luckily we grew up and this is something that has been good about our relationship. We understand that we've taken a lot of it with a grain of salt because humor and a sense of humor was so important in our family. So we sort of buy into it, but we, in some ways we don't. You know, the one other thing I think occurs to me when I think about what's good about it, the sense of shared burden, and this can really, and Laura, you were saying something about this, this can be really work the other way when it doesn't work. The shared burden that, you know, I have an only child, Alec, and I worry that when we get older, he'll be alone and he'll have the burden of two feeble old parents all by himself. He won't have a shared burden with siblings. And I know as our parents got sick and as mommy was sick, that we shared in a lot of the difficulty of it and the dilemmas of it. And I think we really we handled it differently, but at least there was a sense that somebody was doing some piece of the work at some point.
You don't feel as alone.
No.
No, not at all. And again, I'll bring up Patty. She's going through that now, and she doesn't, because she's not close and intimate with her sisters. It's as though she didn't have them, because she cannot share the burden, because they don't get it the way she gets it. And I see what she goes through, and I imagine that's really painful and frustrating. And she recalls when Mommy was sick and how the three of us, you know, we had our issues, but we rallied around each other and we were there for each other. And I think we tend to think, you know, take that for granted, that everybody has that. And as I've gotten older, I realize that they don't, and that we are very lucky that way.
We are. We are.
And so how has that happened? I'm curious.
Laura, you need to speak a little bit louder, closer to your
phone. I'm sorry. How has that happened, do you think? Why has that happened that some sisters, siblings, well, sisters are closer? Is it just by accident? Is it the issues you had and the parents you had growing up? Is it the work you've done with yourself and with each other?
I think probably a combination of all those things. I think a lot of it has to do with how your parents dealt with you. And one of the things that's really difficult about sisterhood is that there can be favoritism on the part of the parents. For instance, Laura, when you and I fought, and for all you listeners, Laura is only a measly 1.5 years younger, but she was clearly the baby. And our mother, Mommy, always, when we fought, you often instigated it, Laura, but I was the bigger mouth. I was louder, more aggressive. So Mommy always blamed me. Now, because I'm sort of tough-skinned, I just kind of hated you a little bit for a while, but I got over it. But I think maybe in Patty's family or families like that, when I know I've worked in my practice with a lot of people where a parent really favors one kid over another. Often it's the golden son over the daughter, whatever. That it creates
Laura,
a sense of disentitlement.
Laura, you're going to let Susie get away with saying that you instigated it?
No, I'm listening to her. I caught it. Don't worry. Don't be a troublemaker, Marge.
Marge, disagree?
Do I disagree?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think we're getting a really bad connection now, guys.
We are.
So do I.
I can hear you fine.
I can't hear Laura, but I can hear you, Sue. I can't hear Laura anymore.
Laura?
Well, I'm not talking. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can
yes,
hear you now.
Okay.
Laura, you might want to talk really close to your phone in the future.
I don't know
if a cell phone is the best to call in on. Anyway, I think that in my sense in answer to your question, Laura, is that I think it partly has to do with how much work you've done on yourself. I think it has to do with the parents and the way parents have treated you. And if we use Patty, don't tell Patty about this call, please. But if we use Patty as an example, I think it's a good example of sometimes birth order. The oldest sister often feels more responsible. She's the caregiver.
Right.
Marge, clearly you've had that role. And so
yes,
in Patty's case, her younger sister's abdicated.
Right.
You mean Patty's?
Patty took over.
Yes.
Patty took over and her, as happens in some families, and the younger sisters or the one sibling, I think, gets assigned the role of being the caregiver. And in my practice, I've seen it, sometimes it's really odd, where a younger sibling is the caregiver, but somebody gets assigned that role for various reasons, partly probably based on how the parents treat them, you know, where they get kudos in the family.
Well, you know, you can't blame everything on how your parents treated you or brought you up. It basically comes down to your core of what kind of person you are. And maybe her sisters aren't as good people as she is. Did that ever
That's
occur
true.
To you?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Right.
No.
But Laura's question is, why would Patty have such a sense of responsibility? And listeners, we're using Patty. You don't know Patty, but she's a lovely person. And we often lament the fact that she is so well-intended and so loving. And she's a perfect example of somebody whose sisters she doesn't really like her sisters, and they're oh. kind of hateful in a lot of ways, and we
yeah.
find it very sad. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's
you
it doesn't always
you
work.
Being the bit, yeah, you being the middle sister. Do you have any thoughts or feelings about that? Because the youngest is very often referred to, because you are, or I am, the baby. Even Mommy used to say when I was 30, meet my baby. I was still her baby.
Right.
The eldest gets the raw deal, the bad deal, because all the mistakes are made with the eldest because it's the first child, and a lot of the burden falls on them. But what happens to the middle child? Do they get lost somewhere? Pardon the pun. In between?
I lost myself. I think what happens for a lot of middle kids is they feel invisible. But I know in my case, because Marge, you carved the path and you had such a rough time, I remember I went underground. I decided, well, I'm not going to make your mistakes. I'm going to be smarter than that. I'm just going to be invisible. And I think as the middle child, you're more able to be invisible.
Yes, you said that before, Susan.
Yeah.
Yes. That you learned from my mistakes.
Yes, I remember. And I think part of the burden for you, Marge, was that Mommy and Daddy were less, I don't know, skilled or experienced. They were more anxious with you. They made a lot of mistakes. And I think by the time they got to Laura, they were tired. And with me, they didn't even know what I was doing.
Talk about feeling invisible.
Yeah.
So you should look upon yourself as the lucky one.
In our case, I think so, maybe. Although this could be another whole show. Sisters, how it might be different with different number combinations. We're three, and it's probably different when you have five sisters or just one of them.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Right.
Margie, you know your cousins are twins, and how's it different for them?
Oh, right, right.
Oh, well, that's a whole different program. That's a whole different thing. I do believe they're fraternal as well. So
okay.
They're even more symbiotic.
Okay.
Right. I mean, their bond is probably even greater than ours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think twins often are symbiotic.
Yes.
And they get to avoid that whole, one of the bad things about, I think, sisterhood in general, but maybe a threesome of sisters is the triangulation. And even when you have bigger combinations, like four sisters, but three and more, I think one of the hard things is that inevitably you have some kind of triangulation. There's an odd girl out.
Well, particularly when you're younger. I would say that holds true when you're younger. I don't think as you grow into adulthood that's so much so.
No.
I didn't feel it anyway. What
yeah.
about you guys?
I was going to ask why does the dynamic change for instance like two's company, three's a crowd. Why does the dynamic different when you're two sisters or you're three sisters? Because it is. Am I right?
Well, I definitely feel that at times, probably because I'm a greater distance away. In fact, I'm sharing now.
Okay.
We're
on the air.
Mark, I don't share much. I know I don't share that much.
Yeah, but
Mark. Since I moved to Florida, I have to confess that I'm probably at times jealous that maybe Laura and you are becoming closer and I'm kind of left out because Laura is, you know, physically able to see you more often than I am.
Right, right.
Because I'm so far away.
Right. And I think...
So I have been feeling that.
Well, I find this very interesting, Marge, that you chose this moment to share that you've never said that before.
Yeah, in front of hundreds and hundreds of listeners, Marge, there were only
450
people on the last call.
Well, maybe it's even more guilt-provoking when I do it this way.
In a public forum, yeah.
Right.
For all you listeners, Marge is the queen of guilt. But you know what? You're bringing up an important point that I think there are things that you share with one sister that you might not share with another. And, for instance, Laura and I are the shoppers. We don't even try to take you. You don't get it. You didn't get the shopping bug. You were deprived of that gene. So I think there inevitably are things that you share with one. And you and I, Marge, share cooking and domestic stuff and household kind of things. We're the Martha Stewarts. And Laura never got that gene. I'm not sure which gene I didn't get. Which gene did I not get? You probably talk about it behind my back.
Well, you have the smart gene. I've been meaning to share that with you also.
Well, there we go with roles, like you're not, right?
Okay, there. Yeah, and here
not nearly as smart as I think you are.
What's that?
You're really smart.
Well,
I'm borderline. I don't have a radio show. This is my 15 minutes of fame, so let me have it.
It's an hour, Marge. It's an hour.
Oh, it's an hour.
Yeah, maybe Oprah will ask you to talk after this or ask to have your own show. She's looking for a new Oprah.
I know she has a new network.
She wants a new show, somebody to host a new show, so maybe you'll be it. But,
oh, God, I better go on a diet.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that...
That's another thing among sisters which you haven't touched on.
What
sibling rivalry. Sibling rivalry.
Absolutely. And what are your thoughts about that? What comes up?
Oh, I feel none of that. I feel absolutely none of that.
Yeah. But did you feel that growing up?
Seriously, did I feel it? Not that I was aware of, no. But I think you guys did.
Well, we're closer in age. And I do remember Susie, I don't know if it was sibling rivalry, I remember her being much more of a bully and not wanting me to hang out with her friends, or I was just her quote-unquote younger sister. I don't really remember vying particularly for mommy and daddy's attention. I just wanted everybody's attention.
You just generalized it to the world.
Well, as I recall, it was Susie who would let loose with a lioness roar while sitting in the high chair when the attention wasn't coming her way as a way to let it be known that she was in the room. Do you remember that, Laura?
No, Laura wasn't born yet, Marge.
I wasn't alive, Marge.
Oh, you weren't alive. Gee, how old are you?
Now I know what. Now I know what.
How old are you?
Well, that's Laura. That's another whole show. The fact that your whole infancy got erased. There wasn't one picture. We could do three shows on that one.
All right. All right.
Do you recall the picture of you and Laura standing in the street with your overcoats on and you trying to finagle your way into her giving you her ice cream cone?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of that dynamic for the rest of our lives. That still happens now. Everything she has, I want. Is that sibling rivalry?
I don't know. Every time we shop, and I'm looking in a ring, let me see, and you grab it out of my hands. It is. It's very telling.
And you know what?
Well,
that's a sequence.
Did you guys ever want anything that I had?
Some of your pots and pans, yeah. Yeah.
Some of my pots and pans.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't thinking along those lines.
Oh, did you think qualities of yours that we wanted?
Yes, qualities.
Yes. I always admired your giving nature and your being such a mensch that you seem to have a corner on that market. And that, again, gets to family scripts. That
you better explain what mensch is to all. to all the non-Jews out there.
I should explain, mensch is somebody with a good heart who does the right thing, sends thank you notes, remembers to call back. Somebody
okay.
who's a good person who is thoughtful of other people. But that's something of yours that I always felt, I always admired, that I felt that I could emulate. I don't know if you would call that rivalry, but it was
no.
certainly something that it felt like you had more of. Just like Laura has the great voice, and Laura's
right.
the beauty. I, you know, the when Daddy. When,
I
when
thought he, I was the beauty.
What? Originally.
What? What? Excuse me. What did you just say?
I'm not going to say it.
Oh, come on! I didn't hear it.
No, you both were the beauties, and I was supposed to be the smart one. So I think that's again,
not what you said, Sue. Get
I
your foot
Laura
out of your mouth.
Was known later Uh-oh. As the beautiful one. And
oh, later. You mean since I've lost my beauty? Since I'm entering into my twilight years.
What do you mean?
Notice how I don't say anything. I'm not
what
getting
do I mean? Laura, you should know.
Don't be mean now.
No, that wasn't mean.
I think that's sibling rivalry right there.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Listeners, by the way, I think we've had a technical glitch. It was brought to my attention by my tech support at home that my headset was not on the whole time. So you
oh.
guys have been able to hear me fine, okay?
Now I hear you a lot better.
Yeah.
You're a lot better.
Well, hopefully
what
by showing up.
Maybe by the 100th show, you'll learn to keep your headset on.
I know. Well, at least, again, I didn't drop my water or lose my – I didn't make all the technical mistakes I did in the first one, but I'll get it. That's the thing that really drives me crazy about all this internet stuff.
You can't be good at everything.
What?
You can't be good at everything.
Well, you can try, right? You definitely can try.
You can try.
So
I
want to ask you – what?
Go ahead.
I want to ask you both something. What do you think, for anybody listening, what do people need to do to maximize the good and minimize the bad if they have sisters?
What do they need to do to maximize the good?
Yes.
Well, the same that you would do with anybody else. You don't dwell on the bad. Because hopefully the good just outweighs it so much that it's not worth being troublesome about.
Okay, so you focus on the positive.
Absolutely. When I think of you guys, I never get anxious or I never think of there's not that much bad.
Right.
There really isn't. I mean, everyone has spats, everyone has disagreements, everyone has discord. That's part of any relationship. It's just that when we're together and we're having a great time, it's just because we enjoy each other so much, and it just feels comfortable.
Yeah.
And
okay, now we have a caller question. Let me just take this caller question.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, caller, what's your name and where are you from?
Hi there. It's been a pleasure listening to you all. My name is Alec. I'm calling from Maine. And I had a question. I noticed that the three of you joke a lot, of course, about you know, getting older and how your relationships have sort of morphed and changed over time. And I was wondering, what would you say are some of the qualities that exist in among siblings that need to be specifically nurtured among siblings who are getting older? Things that are not necessarily applicable for just regular friends, people you know outside of your family. You know, what are some qualities that can be specifically beneficial and useful to be nurtured among siblings as they age together?
I would say tolerance. Well, I think what needs to be nurtured among siblings is probably the same thing that needs to be nurtured in all relationships. One thing that immediately comes to my mind, that's kind of a tough question, caller, but tolerance, don't you think, you guys?
Yes, I also think forgiveness.
Yeah.
Understanding, yes.
Right, right. Acceptance. Acceptance.
Acceptance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what else?
I haven't. What? What is it, Sue?
I was thinking maybe acceptance of differences. And that's, again, another quality I think we all need to nurture in all our relationships. But I think particularly with sisters, as you age, you see, and Laura will relate to this as she's on the eve of this big birthday, that you have less years ahead of you and less probably prerogatives and limited time. And it might ramp up the sense of, that the options may be diminishing. And I think it's really important to be more tolerant around those differences. For instance, there are things that your sisters may never do that you would have wanted them to do. And can you just accept that and just be loving about that?
I see what you're saying.
You get it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I also think it's very important to recognize that we need to see people, we need to see our siblings, our sisters, out of the old family role when we were younger, because most of us do morph and change. We grow
yes.
up. And if you
yes.
continue to see your sibling in the same way, you can be doing a lot of harm in the relationship, and you're not really seeing them. And after all, that's what all of us want. We want to be seen, and it's just a great way. It's the best way to feel close and intimate and trusting of someone when you really see them and you know that you're understood.
Well, as long as you brought that up, Laura, I'd like you both to drop the bossy sister, older
okay.
bossy sister.
We'll try. Somebody. Can I say something?
Still?
It sounds like one of you is chewing on carrots. Who is chewing
yeah,
on carrots?
No one.
Nope.
Not me.
Is that our listener?
Nope, no eating going on here.
Is that?
I apologize. That may have been me.
What are you chewing there, sir? You're also in Maine.
You know, I apologize. I was trying to wrap something in tinfoil, actually. Perhaps
okay.
you could use
oh,
me.
My goodness.
But I am listening. I am listening. Intently,
are you
so
multitasking?
I'm very good multitasking.
You asked a deep question. Now you're wrapping something in tinfoil. You're not listening to our pearls of wisdom.
What the heck are you doing eating at this hour?
I'm cleaning up at this hour.
Don't you know you're not supposed to eat after 7 o'clock?
May I ask, Susan, may I ask your caller, can your caller hear me? I guess that he can.
Yes,
your caller
I can, yep.
a question? What did
yes.
you say your name was?
My name is Alec.
Oh, hi, Alec. This is Laura. Do you have any siblings? Curious, do you have any sisters or any brothers?
I do not, but it's something that I've always wondered about because I have the person who I'm in a relationship right now, woman in a relationship with right now, actually has siblings in a very large family, and it's something that I've always wondered about as an only child, as a matter of fact, and something that I'll probably consider within the scope of my own family someday, whether or not I'll have one or more children. So it's very interesting for me to hear the commentary on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something to think about because it's a radically different experience, I'm sure, growing up as an only child.
He might never have any children after this conversation.
I know. You think we scared him? We've scared him off. That's for sure. But, Laura, you were saying that you think one thing that people can do is to try to look at your sister through an adult lens.
Yes.
Let go of the childlike stuff and to really see them
right.
as another person. And that
yes.
can help you be more accepting and more forgiving and
absolutely.
Just more open. I think that's very
yes.
true. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Marge, absolutely. You were saying focus on the positive.
Well, I think in particular Laura's saying that and feeling that because she is the youngest sister.
Why do you
always
think?
Say more?
Well, I know that she always perceives me as the bossy older sister, and I truly don't feel that I am that way with her, but I know she thinks of me that way.
I can't imagine why.
By the way, Laura,
Yes. Oh, happy birthday.
I think when I give advice, it just comes from a loving heart. It's not because I'm trying to be controlling and bossy.
No, but I know that.
And now, listeners, we're going to have a moment of psychotherapy, family therapy, free on the air. You are the first to witness it. Sisters
coming
together.
Well, by the way, can you stop giving me therapy?
Okay. That is an occupational hazard.
This brings up a very big issue, not just with sisters, universally with all relationships. It's the basis of all relationships, because this just came up when Margie said, you know, by the way, it comes from a loving place. I'm not trying to boss you. It's all about communication and the way you communicate.
Yes.
And the way we perceive it.
Right. Right. And that's where having the history can be a bad thing. Because you're very apt, I think, to look at it through the old lens, through the family lens.
Sure, sure.
If you were bossy, I remember Marge used to beat me up every several times a week. So I could easily...
My God, Sue, we're on the air.
Well, folks, I don't mean literally.
Don't hold back, Sue. Don't hold anything back.
Well, not really.
She's trying to ruin me, folks.
You would just pound my head a little bit.
Not only will I not have sisters, I won't have a friend in the world if this.
But Marge, in fairness, you didn't beat with me with Bill. It was just with the fist. So here we go again. If I held on to that script, I would always see you as the oppressor. Brunhilde.
Oh, my goodness. It's getting better, folks.
But because I've had 30 years of therapy.
Oppressor? Because you've had what?
Because I've had 40 years of psychotherapy, and because it's my occupation, I forgive you.
Oh.
And now I fight back words.
So I'm curious.
Laura, talk louder.
Between the both of you, what do you think your experience is the biggest issue, concern, or challenge about being a sister?
I don't know. Our caller is still wrapping something with tinfoil. Are you still doing that, caller? Something sweet.
I'll finish with wrapping.
I really don't think that being a sister is a challenge. And as for me, I have no issues.
Sorry to laugh.
And if you had more callers like me, you wouldn't have a radio show.
I wouldn't have a business.
Maybe that's a bad word. Issues. I mean, not issues. Every relationship has its ups and downs and concerns or issues, things that you need to work through, every single relationship.
Yes.
So the relationship between sisters is a unique relationship. It's not the same as a sister and brother. So there have not been any? You don't think there have been any? Or there are not any for anybody else?
Marge says not for her. Not for her.
Well,
quite blocked.
I worry about you guys being so far away. I worry. So maybe it's good that I'm far away.
What do you worry about?
I just worry about your future, particularly you, Laura, because you're single. I worry about, you know, if you're going to be all right in the future. By the way, you always have a home here.
If you want to get beaten
up
by Mark.
I laugh, but I know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't.
And Sue, I worry about you sometimes.
Okay.
Because you take on so much, and you have, you're always going on 16 cylinders rather than 8. Mm-hmm. But then again, I'm using only 2, so.
It's all relative.
Really,
okay, so
there's really filling your older sister role, Mark.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Probably yes.
Yeah, you're kind of being the caretaker psychologically
Yes.
for all of us. I think for me, it's letting go of my idea about what I would want for each of you. Margie, I know with you, I'm always wishing you'd be more assertive, and I'm probably more forceful about that with you than I would be with a friend, that I have maybe more of an investment in you just speaking up than I would with just a friend. And Laura, I think with you, it's, I wish you would just realize that you would like yourself more and that you would stand up for yourself also and just clean up your apartment. And I don't carry that stuff with friends. It's a different level of investment, I think.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Laura? Same question.
I think what has been challenging or has taken work is that you see, the two of you see that I have changed. In some ways, I haven't, but in major ways. And you say you know it, but I don't always feel, and this could be my old role as the youngest sister, I don't always
most definitely
think that you do see it. I don't think that you see that I've changed in so many ways. And part of that is maybe I don't share it with you or I don't show it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure because it takes two. It's not just one.
Well,
not
you do. You
side.
Do show it, and we have noticed. So what
yes,
should we
yeah.
do? Hold up a banner? We
yeah,
have
maybe.
Noticed. Tremendous growth. Tremendous change.
Yes. Yes.
Not necessarily for the better.
So.
No, and we tell you
I'm fulfilling my old role, right? In thinking
never that. Feeling like you can that you can compete, that you're always the baby sister. I think for you it's the role of the baby, feeling that you don't have as much credibility somehow or as much weight
exactly.
in the relationship.
Right.
And I think that's one of the down parts about being the youngest. I know most of my youngest clients, youngest in family, feel that nobody takes them seriously. They're always the baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've been feeling that all my life.
That nobody takes you seriously?
I have to say everything twice, for goodness sakes. Nobody listens.
Okay, well, in your case...
You ever notice that about me? I say everything twice. I say everything twice.
You do, you do. No, I didn't notice it. I think it's not all related, obviously, to our roles or our birth
right.
order, but I think there are things that we want for each other, expectations that we may have that I don't think we have of friends. And maybe at times we're a little harder on each other. I think it works
yeah.
both ways.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, I'm here to say, in all seriousness, that you guys are my bestest friends in the whole world, both of you.
You too.
And I love you. I love you both more than words can express.
You too.
Oh, I feel the same way, and I say this all the time to both of you. I know I'm lucky in feeling that, and I feel the same way. And I know, and this is the blood is thicker than water. Maybe not with everyone, but I know that you both would be there for me and vice versa in a flash. No
yes.
question about it.
Yes.
And that's good to know.
It is a kind of, in a way, ironically, now that we've been talking about all the problems that you can have, I think it is a kind of unconditional regard that regardless of what, when there's basic respect and liking and love, that there's your family, there's a sense of belonging. And I think there's a deep, visceral kind of love that's not
very
the same.
Profound.
The what?
Yes.
Yeah.
A very profound type of love.
Yes.
You know, right.
Yeah. And I think if anybody out there who has a sister and is not doing so well, maybe they could in some ways use us as an example. And not that we're perfect, obviously, but being more realistic about their expectations, focusing on the positive. And one other thing occurs to me. One thing that we've done is that we do some new things. We try new things. We're not always doing the same old things. We're not always having the same old conversations. So we'll go to some new places. We'll explore some new things together. And I think we certainly could do much more of that. But I think that's one way somebody with a sister where they're not bonding so well, they could get out of the same old sequence and try some new things where maybe it could generate some positive feelings. Because I know with you guys, when we explore going to a new place or seeing something new together, it really revs up the relationship. It feels
Is that why when I saw you over Thanksgiving, we went to Marshall's and not to TJ Maxx?
That's it. I mean, Laura, let's get real. Sometimes just going to a different store is the key to success. A different store, or surprising you, not going to the same old store. So,
you know, and the three of us have talked about this, and I think it is a great idea, particularly if you're sisters and you live far from each other, to get together and have a sister weekend or a sister trip, a time that's just shared with the sisters, where there's no outside part of your life, no other family, no responsibilities. I think that's a great way to keep the bonds even tighter. I really believe that. We've talked about it. We've not done it, and I think we should.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Are you paying?
Right.
Oh, and Sue, by the way, Sue, as long as we're being totally honest, I hate your coleslaw.
I'm so glad you shared.
Who the heck ever heard of caraway seeds and coleslaw? For God's sake, you're not German.
I'm so glad you shared, Marge. I hope that was very cathartic for somebody who's so blocked. I hope it was really cathartic for you. That was probably worth 10 years of therapy, right?
Ditch the caraway seeds, man.
And with that, I think we're going to have to wrap this show because, according to my clock, it's 10:57, and on my switchboard, there's no warning telling me we're about to end. So I think we're still on the air. We are.
Yes.
In any event, thank you so much, you guys, for coming on. I think this was just great. We could probably talk for weeks, knowing all of us, and maybe we'll do another one sometime.
That would be
all right.
Fun. Anytime.
So from now on, are you on for an hour, Sue?
Yes. Let me tell my guests a little bit about this show, that I am on every 2 weeks at 10 o'clock on Wednesday nights, and the next one is going to be on the 26th, and the name of that show is Avoid Money Wars in Your Marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be co-hosting with Jean Leone, a very prominent accountant in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, who's very affable, has a lot of insight, and very wise, works with a lot of couples, and really understands about where people do better in or getting out of marriage. So that should be a really fun show. And the other thing listeners should know is that I have a website, and it's howtobeabettercouple.com. And through that website, if you subscribe, you can access different relationship tools. I write a lot of articles and free reports. And ultimately, I'm going to have a VIP membership site where people can get ebooks and teleseminars and all that stuff. So it should be fun. And maybe before 2012, I'll get to bed before, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. You guys worry about that?
No.
No?
I'm going to eat dinner when we get off the phone. You know me, I'm the night owl.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, it was nice speaking with you guys.
You too.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was really fun. I love you guys.
Hope to see you soon. And happy birthday tomorrow, Laura.
Happy birthday, Laura.
To both of you.
Okay.
Love you guys.
Take care and signing out.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now.